You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, just so you know, this episode has some explicit content. If anything offends you, write it down on a piece of paper and then throw it in the trash, because I don't want to hear about it. Listener discretion is advised.
It's 1976 at the Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles. Thousands of people are there to see one of that year's hottest bands, Fleetwood Mac. But first, their opening act comes on stage.
Obviously, if you have a chance to open for Fleetwood Mac, you would like it to lead to a more commercial success, and what happened was just the opposite.
That's Tim Hunter, a TV and film director. He's in the audience watching. The opening band plays a set of trippy rock songs punctuated by harmonica riffs. Their front man is a little guy, and he's butt naked except for a diaper. The crowd boos. They ain't digging it. He launches into a song about a lovesick alien who wishes his baby would come back because outer space is cold without her.
It was just the world's most unpopular opening act.
The world's most unpopular opening act? Peter Ivers. Peter confused that audience. Like, why was he up there wailing on the harmonica in his Pampers? Who was this guy? Today, we're going to answer that question by bringing you the story of Peter Ivers' early years. So let's go back to 1968, when Peter was an undergraduate student speaking classical Greek at Harvard. Yeah. It's easy to put those Ivy League twerps down. But as always, Peter invited you to love him. I'm Penelope Spheris, and this is Peter and the Acid King.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it.
We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
In 1968, John Leone is an undergrad at Harvard, hustling through these underground tunnels on campus.
And I heard this amazing blues harmonica player echoing through the hallway, and I followed it. And there was Peter sitting on top of a pig-nose amplifier playing blues harp. Most of the people I knew in the music business were virtuosos of one kind or another, pianists or guitar players. But I never met somebody who just played harmonica. And that was interesting in itself.
Peter could play the harmonica like no one else.
His fucking ability to play harmonica is just fucking insanely great.
He was a wizard with his harmonicas. He would come through the door and would announce his arrival by doing a harmonica riff.
He's one of the best harmonica players out there.
Peter started playing the harmonica his freshman year of college, but it wasn't enough for Peter to learn the instrument. He had to master it. The summer between his freshman and sophomore year, Peter took a trip to Chicago, where Muddy Waters made his claim to fame. During that trip, he met Little Walter, Muddy Waters' harmonica player. At that time, Little Walter was considered the best harmonica player alive.
You know, here was this kid, his undergraduate at Harvard, you know, going out to Chicago and playing, literally playing with, Muddy Waters and etc.
That's Stockard Channing, Peter's college girlfriend and an actor known for playing Rizzo in Grease. Little Walter invites Peter into the Muddy Waters crowd. And before long, Peter is organizing shows for the blues legend. In exchange, Little Walter gives Peter harp lessons.
I mean, anybody who goes to play the blues with Muddy Waters as an undergraduate at Harvard, that's an extraordinary cat.
But in 1968, sadly, Little Walter dies. At a show shortly after that, Muddy Waters introduces Peter as the greatest living harp player. It's a passing of the torch. Peter's harmonica playing eventually lands him in the office of Larry Cohn, an executive at Epic Records. Here's Larry.
We hit it off, and I think either Peter or one of the group guys told me that Peter was a musician, you know, played harmonica, mouth harp. And my first thought was, not much demand for this kind of thing, but I'm certainly willing to listen, you know, who knows? I figured, well, here I'm going to get another blues harp player, but he was great. He was so advanced harmonically, I mean, and he did things that were really, really interesting.
Larry signs Peter to a two-album deal. Peter's first record is Night of the Blue Communion, which is a very late 1960s piece. It was sort of a psychedelic jazz album with lots of brushes on drums and horn squawks. Not my bag, but someone's.
Critically, it did very well because, you know, people who understood music, they could see that he was doing something new. He was exploring. But for the average record buyer, not a chance.
Which is another way to say it flops.
Then I did another album with him. Everybody said, well, you know, it's the typical salespeople. They don't know shit from, they know much about music as I know about brain surgery and outer space. And they didn't want to waste their time. So I put Peter in the studio again, and I said, do whatever you do. And it never came out, and they dropped Peter.
After Epic drops him, Peter gets a call from his Harvard buddy, Tim Hunter. Tim's scoring his first movie at the American Film Institute, and he needs a composer.
I encouraged Peter to come out. He wanted to come there anyway, but he basically, the catalyst was that he came out to score Devil's Bargain, the film that I made at AFI.
So Peter packs up his harmonica and heads west to Hollywood. Land of dreams. Shia, right. Peter's new girlfriend moves to L.A. too. Her name is Lucy Fisher, and Lucy is the love of Peter's life. Peter and Lucy met in 1969. The same way Peter devoured the harmonica, Lucy devoured plays, poetry, and art. And people flocked to Lucy just like they did to Peter. The pair came together easily.
And they set themselves up in the Laurel Canyon house, and that's when he started writing songs seriously.
While Peter's diving into songwriting, Lucy gets a gig reading scripts for movie studios.
We used to hang out there and just spend a lot of time in Peter's small studio watching him write and listening to the demos.
Laurel Canyon back then was home to a vibrant music and art scene. And Lucy and Peter's home quickly became a hangout.
You know, he took to the scene. You could tell that he enjoyed it and felt at home there. You know, he always had a great sense of humor and a kind of an enjoyment of life that was fairly infectious.
My favorite memory of Peter and Lucy is from this time. Lucy, Peter, and I would drive around Laurel Canyon and try to find parties. I had a convertible Mustang at the time, and I wish I would have kept that car. Lucy would ride shotgun, and Peter would be in the back seat, and he would have his head right here between us, and we'd be laughing our asses off, having a great time. Filmmaker Malcolm Leo also remembers cruising for parties with Peter. He'd pick Malcolm up in his shitty car, and they'd just start driving.
He had the most ragtag sports car in the world that the top would never go up, it was perpetually down. And we'd be driving around L.A., freezing our ass off at night and going to these events that only he seemed to know.
No matter where Peter went, it seemed like he knew everyone. It was like there were no strangers. Peter just invited everyone to be his friend.
The crowd would separate and up would walk Peter, and he wore his holstered harmonica. And he'd just go on stage and blow a few tunes and then leave.
Eventually, all of Peter's networking pays off, and he lands his first big movie score. Well, sort of.
I'm Ron Howard. This is Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto is a love story with cars.
The film is called Grand Theft Auto. And it's the directorial debut from a former child star named Ron Howard.
we were on this accelerated post-production pace. Joe Dante's editing and going very quickly. And John Davison came to me and said, I have an idea for who should score the movie. I said, I haven't thought about it at all, John. Who would that be? Peter Ivers.
This project is a low-budget car chase movie. So Ron's like, harmonica guy? Yeah.
I just didn't know one thing about Peter Ivers. I just said, okay, you know, maybe let's meet him. So John Davison brought Peter, and we were going to talk about the movie and sort of spot it.
Spotting is when the director and composer decide where the music cues in a film will go.
I mean, our spotting session would normally take place over a course of a couple of days, maybe in a screening room where you could stop the movie and discuss it and go back. Our spotting session took about an hour and a half. It didn't take much more than just the running time.
It's just John Davidson, Peter Ivers, and Ron Howard in the room watching the movie. Peter has his harmonica with him.
It was just John Davison operating the moviola. Peter Ivers there, really nice guy, didn't have a hell of a lot to say, had a harmonica. And every once in a while, he'd stop, and point it to something, and he'd just do like a couple little riffs on the harmonica. I mean, I was a little thrown by this because I didn't see this as a harmonica score. And I think I said, you know, I don't imagine a lot of harmonica. And John said, well, it's kind of his thing. He kind of writes on the harmonica. Harmonica might be in there, but he's a producer. He's a record producer. It's going to sound great. And then he went away. And like literally a week later, he had the song. It was a title song for Grand Theft Auto. So it was Grand Theft. You know, you stole my heart. We were in your car. We were on the run, having fun. Grand Theft, we were on the run. Grand Theft, having so much fun. But it was also professional and kind of cool.
And of course, because it's Peter, there's a harmonica riff about halfway through the song.
And I was pretty happy with the whole thing.
The film isn't any kind of a hit, but it helped establish Ron as a director and gave Peter the scoring cred he needed, too. Around this same time, Peter meets another aspiring director, David Lynch, who's working on his first film, Eraserhead.
I thought I heard a stranger. We've got chicken tonight. Strangest damn things. They're man-made.
Describing something in a David Lynch movie is like describing a bad acid trip. So I'm going to leave it to Kayla Janice. She's a film critic who studied Peter's life and writes brilliantly about David Lynch.
So in Eraserhead, Jack Nance plays a character named Henry, who is sort of living in this industrial hellscape.
Hello, I'm Henry.
Henry's at LaPelle's factory.
Well, printing's your business, huh? Plumbing's mine. 30 years. I've seen this neighborhood change from pastures to the hellhole it is now.
He lives in this very claustrophobic environment in sort of a single room. And at one point, he's been sort of saddled with this deformed baby. And so Henry is left alone, and he has incredible anxiety in general, which is then compounded by being left alone with this baby.
So while Henry is stressing out, the camera pans to the other side of the room. Then it zooms in on the inside of a radiator.
He sees this woman. She has a very abnormal physical appearance, but her face itself is heavily caked to make her face seem very large, very cratered, and she has extremely pronounced cheeks. And she starts to sing this song called In Heaven Everything Is Fine. And the lyrics of the song are very simple.
Here's a clip from that song.
In heaven, everything is fine. In heaven, everything is fine.
But it's not actually her voice that's being used for the song. The voice that is singing that song is the voice of Peter Ivers.
His voice is really high-pitched, a little eerie.
The song itself was a huge part of why the movie Eraserhead became such a big cult hit. There was a lot of interest in that song. Like, the band Devo ended up covering it on their 1979 tour.
We used to end all of our shows with this character, Boogie Boy, would come out.
That's Mark Mothersbaugh, lead singer and keyboardist of Devo. He's also an Oscar-nominated film composer.
He'd sing the final song of the night, sitting in a playpen usually. And so he would sing In Heaven every now and then.
In Heaven is probably Peter's most successful song. Here's a clip from the early 80s where Peter's talking to an interviewer at a club on the Sunset Strip. Without the interviewer even prompting him, Peter brings up the song.
You know the most famous song I wrote is called In Heaven, don't you?
No. Are you serious?
The song in Eraserhead is called In Heaven.
Wow.
In Heaven, everything is fine in heaven. Everything is fine in heaven. You got your good things and I've got mine. Gong, 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 gong in heaven.
His music in Eraserhead and Grand Theft Auto helps Peter get another record deal, this time with Warner Brothers. In 1974, he releases his second album, Terminal Love. Here's Jello Biafra. Yeah, the Dead Kennedys guy.
I first heard Peter Ivers when I was still in high school, and there was a used record store a couple blocks from the school I went to every day called Trade a Tape and Records. I not only emptied the free box every single day, but I also tried to keep up with every single record that came into the store. And in came Terminal Love. And I put it on and thought it was just about the worst record I had ever heard in my life. But sometimes... have you ever had one of these things where one of the worst things turns around and becomes one of the best things you ever heard in your life instead?
Jello may have been one of the few people who liked the songs, though. The album flops, and part of the issue is Peter's voice. Here's Kayla again.
He has such an unearthly voice, in a way. It's, what you might call a nasally voice or a bratty voice, but it's a very androgynous voice. You know, it is not a distinctly masculine voice.
Peter's own press release for Terminal Love reads, "It sounds like Howling Wolf if he inhaled helium."
So his albums could never really be as commercial as he wanted them to be because his voice was a stumbling block for a lot of people because it was so unusual. It just didn't fit with anything. You know, it is still a very unusual voice, unlike anything else out there.
The album's failure could not have felt good for Peter. And it came at a time when the people around him were starting to soar. His girlfriend Lucy was on her way to becoming one of the most powerful people in Hollywood.
She got a job originally as a script reader at United Artists and then quickly sort of rose through the ranks as a film executive. She moved over to MGM and then eventually was hired by Francis Ford Coppola to head up his new Zoetrope Studios.
Meanwhile, Peter's best friend from college, Doug Kenny, has created the National Lampoon. It was just a magazine at first, but soon the Lampoon morphs into a stage and radio show. It would launch the careers of Gilda Radner, John Belushi, and Chevy Chase, all of whom would go on to star in the first season of Saturday Night Live. As a side note, I produced film shorts for Saturday Night Live back then. I remember one day Chevy Chase knocked on my door looking for film work. After about 15 minutes of talking, Chevy, whose real name is Cornelius Crane Chase, escorted my roommate Jeanette into her bedroom, and they had some, romping sex. That's what I recall. Anyway, so back to Peter.
He's torn between the world where Lucy Fisher and Doug Kenny operate, the overground, as Peter called it, and the underground, where the artists, eccentrics, and punks thrive. Here's Malcolm Leo again.
I mean, he was out in the rock and roll world, but his girlfriend at the time was an executive in one of the film companies. And so you would, one evening, he might be with Nancy Reagan, and the next evening he'd be with Darby Flash or Darby Crash. Same shit.
Darby might argue it's not the same shit, but okay. As Lucy's career skyrockets, Peter's still trying to figure out what's next. What takes place between the two of them? Well, that's their business. But the point is, Peter and Lucy start to drift apart. Meanwhile, a tragedy is looming on the horizon, a tragedy that would stun all of Hollywood, the death of Peter's friend, Doug Kenny. Following the success of the National Lampoon radio show, Doug had set his sights on the movie business, and in 1978, he released his first film, Animal House.
How does it feel to be an independent, Schoenstein?
How does it feel to be an asshole, Niedermeyer?
The film was about class warfare, the preppies versus the slackers. In a funny way, it mirrored the experience that had brought Peter and Doug together in the first place. Neither of them had fit in with the snooty elite at Harvard. But Animal House was a box office smash, and all of a sudden, Doug was no longer an outsider.
Doug and Peter were very close friends and kind of engaged the world as a satire.
That's John Leone again.
Doug sort of became the opposite from Peter. He came here and had massive success right away with Animal House and became very rich.
By 1980, Doug's a multimillionaire. He's made two huge movies, Animal House and Caddyshack, and he's becoming the town's king of comedy. Stars like Chevy Chase and John Belushi partied at his house.
There was a period of time when everybody was doing coke for about a year and a half or 2 years.
There was this sense that things might be going a little too far.
You could just see it was ruining everybody's lives. It was, people would stumble around and get in car crashes. Doug often crashed his car. You know. There were times that Doug, Jesus Christ, you know, he would answer the door without his pants on. I mean, it wasn't hard to see that there was a disaster waiting to happen.
At the height of his success, Doug takes a vacation to Hawaii. One day on his trip, Doug goes for a drive. He gets out of the car and walks along the top of a cliff. And somehow, he slips and falls to his death.
That was the end of a long party, Doug's death. Once Doug died, I stopped doing any coke at all.
The National Lampoon published a tribute to its co-creator. It was a cartoon picture of a cliff with a sign that said, Doug Kenny slipped here.
I think that loss harmed Peter as it did me and many other of Doug's friends.
By the end of 1980, one of Peter's best and most successful college friends has died. Peter's career has stalled. And his years-long relationship with Lucy Fisher is on the rocks. Not too long after, they separate. There's some ambiguity about whether they actually broke up. But again, that's their business. The important thing is that when they do part ways, it's a real low point for Peter.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Peter's life has started to unravel, thread by thread. So when a project comes along that combines his love of music, performance, and LA's underground, it feels like maybe he can stitch it all back together. But Peter has no idea just what and who he's dealing with.
Peter was not a rejecter of things. And I think had he been a little more careful who he trusted, he'd be alive today.
That's next time on Peter and the Acid King. Adios, amigos. Bye-bye and all that shit. See you on the other side. Peter and the Acid King is based on interviews recorded and researched by Alan Sachs. It's produced by Imagine Audio, Alan Sachs Productions, and Awfully Nice for iHeartMedia. I'm your host, Penelope Spheris. The series is written by Caitlin Fontana. Peter and the Acid King is produced by Amber Von Schassen. The senior producer is Caitlin Fontana, and the supervising producer is John Asante. Our project manager is Katie Hodges. Our executive producers are Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, Cara Welker, Nathan Clokey, Alan Sachs, Jesse Burton, and Katie Hodges. The associate producers are Laura Schwartz, Dylan Kainrich, and Chris Statue. Co-producer on behalf of Shout Studios, Bob Emmer. Sound design and mix by Evan Arnett. Fact-checking by Catherine Barner. Original music composed by Alloy Trax. Music clearances by Barbara Hall. Voiceover recording by Voice Trax West. Show artwork by Michael Dare. Special thanks to Annette Van Duren. Thank you for listening.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.